I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is February 19th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Rick Santorum speaks at Liberty University. I will take excerpts from his speech, beginning with, Rick said, "Yes, this is an election about a president who is allowing things to occur in the world almost apathetically." Rick, wasn't that your position on Libya? According to the LA Times on August 22nd of 2011, you said that the humanitarian mission outlined by the president was not sufficient reason to engage U.S. military forces because U.S. national security interests were not at stake. That makes it sound like you are the one who would apathetically allow things to occur in the world. Rick said, "To rally forces that have been out there over the last few decades that want to do harm to America." Rick, why would Obama want to rally forces that could harm America? How would that help his re-election campaign? Rick, that doesn't make any sense. He said, "And we have the audacity of calling it an Arab Spring. And what we see now is that the Arab Spring is an icy, cold winter of radical Islamists." Rick, you don't get to dictate which way their democracy goes. They are majority Muslims, not Christians. So in their democracy, Muslims will likely yield the majority of political power. You don't seem to have a problem with that system here in America, where your religion is in the majority and controls nearly 100% of all political offices. And calling them radicals is just more evidence of your bigoted ignorance. They have their radicals, just like we have Christian radicals here in America. Those would be radicals like you, Rick. Rick said, "And the president reluctantly fights with Congress just to do the minimum to slow them down." Rick, he doesn't need to slow Congress down. In 2010, Americans saw fit to elect dozens of Tea Party clowns to Congress, and now they are finding out the price of that mistake, a congressional approval rating lower than that of Jersey Shore. Rick continues, "Ladies and gentlemen, standing up and talking about abortion as if having life and being pregnant was something that would deny people their dreams. This callousness toward life and family and faith and even open hostility. This is the President of the United States today. This is a president who has a fundamentally different view of America than what made America the greatest country in the history of the world." Rick, that all depends on how you measure greatness. At one time, we probably were on top in many categories. But in the last 30 years, we have been dropping fast. So the question is, if elected, how would you restore our position? I mean, besides praying for help from your invisible ghost. Rick continues, "If the government says they're going to give you a right, they can then tell you how to exercise that right. You see, our founders believe that rights don't come from the government." Rick then pulled out his pocket constitution, or as he calls it, the Operator's Manual of America. He pointed out that most pocket constitutions also print the Declaration of Independence. Now we will see why Rick uses the one that includes the Declaration. Rick said, "And in that Declaration of Independence is a phrase you folks here in Oklahoma, and I know at Oral Roberts, you know that phrase. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that is the essence of America." That's why Rick includes the Declaration. In it, the founders referred to a Creator, which Rick is claiming refers to his God. But in the 13 years that passed between the Declaration and the writing of the Constitution, they apparently changed their minds. Not only did they omit God completely from any mention in the entire document, they began it not with "God ordains and establishes," but with "we the people of the United States do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Rick continues, "The left sees the Declaration as an old dead letter and are trying to ease it out. It is inconvenient to liberals because it says rights come from God instead of the government. Rick, since your God no longer materializes, how do you know what rights he is granting us? It's funny how no matter where you go in the world, those rights always coincide with whichever religion is in the majority. I guess that's probably just a coincidence, huh, Rick? And Rick, if you really want to talk about something that is inconvenient, try explaining why your God gave us the unalienable right to own slaves and instructions on how to properly care for them." Rick said, "It's interesting. When it comes to the issue of equality, they're all for it. They use that term all the time. Equality, equality. Where does equality come from? Do you find equality between men and women, in society, in other cultures in the world? No, you do not. You find it in Western civilization. You find it because we are a Judeo-Christian country. Rick, you really need to get that old Bible of yours dusted off and read Leviticus 27, verses 3 through 7, where you will learn that in the eyes of your God, a woman is only worth 50 to 67% as much as a man, depending on age. Rick, just a quick question. How come everything you say is contradicted either by the facts or by your own Bible?" He said, "None of us are equal from the standpoint of, from a humanistic worldview." Rick, and what could you possibly know of a humanistic worldview? You live in a fairy world of ghosts and demons, and you talk to them. He said, "What makes us equal? It's that we're equal in the eyes of God. We all have dignity and worth because of that." Rick, which Bible version are you using? "I know of no version where God promotes equality for slaves or women. He certainly doesn't consider atheists equal since he plans to fry us for eternity. So your true statement, if you were capable of making one, would be, all heterosexual Christian white men are equal in the eyes of God." He said, "We have a president now who believes that government should be able to create rights and force you to exercise them in conformity with what they believe, not the unalienable rights you have." Rick, isn't that what Bush did after 9/11? I'm not saying that all his actions were wrong. I'm just saying that Bush went a lot further than anything Obama has ever done. Rick said, "But since the environmentalists have now been outed with the politicization of the science of this man-made global warming, they've got to find a new fundraising tool." Rick, the people who were outed for trying to politicize the science of global warming were the ones who were spreading lies about it and got caught. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided him a link to the global warming controversy. Rick, in case you don't have time to read the whole article, here's a spoiler. The ones who got outed were from your side. Now Santorum moves on to the questions by pre-approved Oral Roberts University students. The first asked him to reconcile his opposition to the Affordable Care Act with his Catholic faith. Rick answers, "Here's the way I approach things as a public official. I believe that you have an obligation to approach every issue in public life from the standpoint, as I do, from the standpoint of both faith and reason." Rick, that was a contradiction. Reason is based on evidence. Faith is based on a lack of evidence. It doesn't make sense to approach any issue based on a lack of evidence. You are simply pandering to the crowd of idiots before you. He said, "My conscience was formed as a result of my life experience." Rick, as a politician, there is little likelihood that you have a conscience. As a far right-wing evangelical, make that no likelihood. He said, "My conscience was primarily through faith and through the moral values that I was taught of the teachings within the Bible and the church." So Rick, then you're okay with slavery after all? Rick said, "And so, yes, I bring that to the table. That's who I am. When I look at what's right and wrong, they're right out of what the Bible teaches are right and wrong." "Well, Rick, the Bible teaches that slavery is okay and that homosexuality is wrong." I would say the big guy may have gotten those two backwards. Rick said, "But I have an obligation, not just to look at things that way, but also to bring reason." "Rick, stop it. You're killing me. You believe in magical ghosts and eternal life in the clouds with all your buddies. Reason is as far out of your reach as Michael Vick's chances of adopting a puppy." He said, "I always say that if your faith is true and your reason right, you'll end up at the same place." "Rick, there is no possible way for you to know if your faith is true. You're just taking that on faith." Rick said, "Why? Well, because God created us, created the universe, created reason." "Rick, your assertion is based on faith. And if I were you, I would remove reason from that list, because reason is what will eventually remove God from that list." He said, "And of course, why would God create something where your faith would bring you one place and your reason would bring you another if your faith is true, right?" "Good point, Rick. He wouldn't. Therefore, you have just proven the non-existence of your God. Congratulations." Rick said, "I also believe as a public official that you have a right to speak to people of faith and no faith. You have to present a reason why you want to advance a certain public policy, not just because that's what my faith teaches me and that's why I believe it. That's fine, but from the standpoint of public policy, it's insufficient, because you need to appeal to people who may not share your faith. And so, that's why I look at the Affordable Care Act and say, both from the standpoint of faith, do I believe that people have a right to purchase health care? Yes. Do I believe it is right that the government should impose and control? No. So it's one thing to say that people should have the opportunity, should have access to care. It's another to say that the government should be the implementer of that. And reason tells me that government is the least effective tool to make that the best possible care." "Well, there's the problem, Rick. A person like you trying to rely on reason that he does not possess." The next questioner asked him to explain the difference between his foreign policy views and Ron Paul's. To which Rick answers, "The briefest way is, I believe in peace through strength. Paul believes, well, maybe I'll just say he doesn't. I believe that America is a source of stability in the world." "Rick, I will agree that America is a stable source of arms for many nations. We are also pretty stable when it comes to being at war. I can't name any country in the world that has engaged in as many wars in the last century as Christian America. Perhaps you could name a country." Rick said, "If we, in fact, do as Congressman Paul has suggested, which is to isolate ourselves, to withdraw from the world, I think we've seen that there are forces in the world who would replace us, who would not have our best interests in mind." "But Rick, that's pretty much what you were advocating earlier when you were bashing Obama for taking action in Libya." He said, "I think Obama would become much more radical in his cuts to the military and bringing people home, and disengaging from the world and allowing the world to go to seed. And let me assure you, it will go to seed." "Why, Rick, did Jesus go on vacation? And why doesn't all-powerful God require the American military to keep the world from going to seed?" He said, "And the virulence, that will be rampant, like a bacteria that keeps growing, will end up on our door, and we will not be able to have the ability to stop it." "So, Rick, when did you earn your prophet's license?" Santorum employed a transparent scare tactic by claiming Obama, due to a lack of political accountability as a second-term president, would suddenly change his entire approach to national security. "Rick, based on that logic, we should eliminate second terms for all presidents." The next questioner asked, "It says on your website that you want to rebrand the war on terror to be the war on radical Islam. Do you see radical Islam as the prime example of Islam at large? And if you were the commander-in-chief, How would your war on terror or war on radical Islam change from the current administration? Rick answers, the reason I say we have to rebrand the war is because we need to be accurate as to who we're fighting. Are we fighting all terrorists? And the answer to that is clearly no. There are terrorists in other parts of the world that we are not engaged in and have no interest from a national security point of view from engaging in. Does that mean we're at war with Islam? Of course not. But we're at war with an element of Islam that frankly is at war with Islam and with most Muslims. The people who are going to be most disadvantaged, who are going to be most affected, as we see in Iran, most Iranians are not radical Islamists. In fact, most Iranians love America, and they've loved America for a long time. Why? Because we had the courage to go out and call their theocracy what it was, evil and a corruption, and that we were on their side. Yet they are being oppressed every day by these radicals. No, we're not at war with Islam, but we are at war with the radical elements, and we need to say to the people of Islam, the Islamic people, that they need to join the fight against the radical elements, and we are ready to help you in that regard. Okay, Rick, I'll give you credit for that one. Not bad. The final questioner asked him how he would respond in a general election to attacks on his abortion and homosexuality stances. Rick answers, well, it's very interesting because the other candidates in this race have the same position I have on these issues. At least that's what they say. And so, whoever the Republican candidate is, we have these radical positions that marriage should be between a man and a woman. How radical is that? Rick, nice straw man fallacy. No one is claiming that marriage between a man and a woman is radical. You are the one who is claiming that marriage between same-sex partners is radical. And it is, because religious zealots who base their beliefs and morals on ancient texts written by ignorant sheepshaggers have denied rights to minorities that they grant to themselves. The recent decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that struck down California's 2008 Proposition 8, which had added a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in the state, said that Prop 8 specifically violates the 14th Amendment in that it does not conform to the standard that there be a legitimate reason for a passage of a law that treats different classes of people differently. In other words, Rick, we the people trumps inalienable rights granted by invisible ghosts. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, the Earth's oldest living thing is likely at least 100,000 years old. The 43,000-year-old Tasmanian plant, once identified as the planet's oldest living thing, turns out to be a relative young'un. Patches of giant seagrass in the Mediterranean have taken over the top spot. Scientists sequenced the DNA of the Posidonia oceanica to find that it is between 12,000 and 200,000 years old, and most likely at least 100,000 years old. Their report reviewed 40 underwater meadows throughout the Mediterranean. The seagrass has survived so long because it has the ability to clone itself, reproduce asexually, and stockpile nutrients for tough times. They are continually producing new branches. But climate change threatens the seagrass because, as the water warms, the organisms move slowly to higher altitudes. The seagrass cannot move. The Mediterranean is locked to the north by the European continent. The outlook is very bad. I'll add a little editorial note to that. Well, I wouldn't complain if you got 100,000 years. That's a lot better than most of us get. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Bill Maher, born 1956, he is 56 years old. Maher is an American stand-up comedian, television host, political commentator, author, and actor. Before his current role as the host of HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, he hosted a similar late-night talk show called Politically Incorrect, originally on Comedy Central and later on ABC. Maher is known for his political satire and socio-political commentary, which targets a wide swath of topics including religion, politics, bureaucracies of many kinds, political correctness, the mass media, greed among people and persons in positions of high political and social power, and the lack of intellectual curiosity of the electorate. He supports the legalization of marijuana and same-sex marriage and serves on the board of PETA. He is also a critic of religion and is an advisory board member of Project Reason, a foundation to promote scientific knowledge and secular values within society. In 2005, Maher ranked at number 38 on Comedy Central's 100 Greatest Stand-Up Comedians of All Time. Bill Maher received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2010. And now for the quote from Bill Maher. His quote is in response to something you often hear from creationists who call atheism a religion. Maher replies, "Atheism is a religion, like abstinence is a sex position."
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.